B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, Monday following Eagles game. Always interesting, always fun. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. This is a story about the quarterback and the coach. Or if you were going to put it in a movie setting, you remember the movie The Quick and the Dead? Well, this is The Thick and the Dead. And you could pick either one, the coach or the quarterback, that fits that category. So let's go down and find out what we have here. And let's start with the quarterback, Carson Wentz. Now, Carson Wentz started out great. Oh, my God, he was on point. They're up 17-0. Everybody's going, okay, this is an easy victory, which I thought it was going to be. And then all of a sudden, it collapses. He throws the interception before the half that changes the game completely around. And from there, the numbers are grisly. He started off, and I don't have to remind you of this, but I will anyway. 14 for 18, 174 yards. That's brilliant. That's cashing in. After that, including the interception, which put Washington back in the game, 8 for 21, 71 yards, 2 interceptions, a lost fumble, and 0 points. I got more. When Carson Wentz was pressured yesterday, 15 dropbacks under pressure. Washington was coming at him. 8 sacks, 6 incompletions, 1 completion, 0 throwaways. And on those 15 plays, the Eagles lost 52 yards. We talk about QBR, and had he continued on that roll he was on in the first half, QBR would have been sensational. An average QBR for a game is 50. Average. Carson Wentz yesterday, 14.2, the worst of any starter in the league. And it was a bad enough performance where it's fair for the people that are doing it, and they're doing it a lot, and there's plenty of people doing it, that are questioning whether this dude is the dude. Now, if I were a cynic, I would say, because you know my stance already on Jalen Hurts, that he was drafted to take over in 2 years. That there's something that they don't really like about Carson Wentz, and they want to go to the newfangled prize where they can do some different things, because that's the newfangled way the league goes on. And of course, they have to be ahead of the curve, because that's Howie Roseman, that's what he does. And if I were a cynic, I would actually say that they're intentionally setting this guy up to fail. Because let's look at the other side of it, which involves the coach. Now, I'm not saying that Doug Peterson, I don't think he's the sharpest tack, right? I don't think he is a total dunce overall. But let's be fair to say that yesterday, he was a dunce. So why was he a dunce? Okay, well, let's look at why he was a dunce. This is a quarterback who's getting pressured, whose offensive line is completely dismantled and unsure of themselves, and they're playing guys in there, don't even know how to play in the league yet. And yet, the game plan stays the same. And I'm thinking to myself, an idiot could see that they should be doing different things here other than a 6-step drop where they're trying to throw the ball down the field. Now, how many assistant coaches do they have? How many eyes in the sky do they have? Now, one guy can send it down to this guy who's like numbskulled, the head coach. Now, one guy upstairs can go, hey, coach, man, we can't hold him. We can't hold him. We got to do some different things. We got to roll him out. We got to screen pass. We got to do a short flat pass. We got to make the pocket mobile. We can't do this anymore. Wasn't heated at all. Wasn't probably even said at all. I sit here and go, that's malpractice. This is a coaching staff that committed malpractice yesterday. How in the world do they not see that they can't run the offense the way they want to run the offense? Now people are saying, what do you got to do? Play action? You got to run the ball. Okay, you don't really have anybody to run the ball. And that's your fault too. Because you go into a game with Boston Scott as your bellwether, he's a situational back. You're not going to be able to run the ball with him anyway. So you go into the game with two running backs, really? Clement, who looks like he's finished, folks. I mean, come on. And Boston Scott. So you take that element away. What is going on with this coaching staff? Why can't they see what they have and what they don't have and adjust to it? This head coach is a terrible adjuster. He's terrible as an adjuster. See, look at Washington. You want to hear a stat? The Washington football team, they average, you look at him go, they stink, first of all. Their quarterback is not good. They didn't even pressure that kid. He looked terrible in the first half. They didn't even pressure him. Defensive coordinator didn't even pressure him. What's he thinking about? 3.4 yards per play Washington had yesterday. Do you know teams that do that? They're losers. Last year, teams that averaged fewer than 3.5 yards per play went 0-18 with an average loss by 20 points. Washington managed to beat the Eagles by double digits, going 3.4 yards per play. I sit here, I go, people go, well, it's only game one. Don't worry. Yeah, okay, it's only game one. That was ridiculous yesterday. And you can throw the blame around anywhere you want. Washington scored five drives, right? Here were their drives that scored. 45 yards, 20 yards, 26 yards, 48 yards, and 20 yards. Mainly because Carson Wentz gave up the football. Not only that, they've got two guys that don't know how to play in the league yet, okay? I guess you drafted speed. I got it. You're expecting Hightower to run a proper route? You're expecting Rieger to run a proper route? You saw those interceptions. Those guys don't know how to run those routes. When you run a route like that, it's got to be a sharp cut. You got to make sure it's like basketball. When a point guard's got the ball and somebody's coming up from behind, what's he do? He shifts his body to get in front of him so he doesn't get picked. That's how you have to run that route. You got to shield that guy, the defender, from getting the ball. And if you don't, you got to fight him for it. And they're throwing those kind of routes to those guys. Those guys can run one route right now. It's the go route. I don't know. I got nothing else. Tyrone, what you got?
Yeah, everything you said was true, unfortunately. I'm worried now. I'm worried. Because some of this stuff's going to get solved. All of it won't get solved. All of it won't get solved. And I still can't believe, since you talked about all the big pieces, the running back thing. So you had Holyfield, who has been with you since last year, who knew your offense. You knew internally, because they lied to us. They knew internally that Sanders was iffy for week one. You pick up a running back who doesn't know your offense, who you can't use. So you don't have Holyfield on your roster. You get him on your practice squad. You don't make sure he's on your team so that if this happens, you have another running back who knows your offense when Boston Scott inevitably gets hurt because you're trying to make him your every down back. What was up with that, Doug? You're the coach. How do you let that happen? The other part is you told me 9 days ago that Pryor was the starting left tackle and everything was fine. You fast forward 8 days from when you made that statement. And not only is Pryor not playing anywhere on the offensive line despite missing two starters, when one of those guys in Driscoll leaves the game, Mailata's in the game and not Pryor. Therefore, why can I trust you about anything? And this is what we talked about before. Terrible coaching job. Yes, Wentz was awful. Wentz was brutal. Wentz can't play like that. I don't know why he played like I've never seen a guy play so good and start playing so bad. But all of that, the offensive line stunk. How is Pryor 9 days ago the starter at left tackle? And then when all that happens, nobody can protect this guy. In addition to him being bad, I said it out loud multiple times, but the line still stunk, and it may stink going forward. How is your starting left tackle, quote-unquote, 9 days ago, not even playing at all when you lose not one, not two, but you end up losing three starters, and he still doesn't play? Something's up with this coach. I don't trust him, and that's why I'm scared now. I'm scared about this whole season imploding because I have lost all confidence in Doug Peterson because he's decided I'm stupid while he's doing stupid stuff.
Listen, you're totally right about the anticipation of a game and how you should anticipate things, okay? Because the one thing Washington does have, we knew they had a really good defensive front. Okay, now it's one thing to hope that when you start Herbig and Driscoll, that it's going to be successful. It's kind of like getting a dandelion pod and blowing and making a wish. But okay, you got nothing else. You got to try it out. Once you see it is not working, you're responsible as an NFL football coach to pivot, to adjust. What are all these coaches on this team supposed to do? What do they do that they can't send a simple message and the head coach can't recognize it that we can't do six set drops? Our line is getting eaten alive. I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. This guy, time and time again, listen, he may be a good coach for people, intellectual, emotional intelligence, whatever the hell they call it. But this guy, you see it time and time, he can't adjust. It's just, it's mind boggling to me. And, we'll talk about it because there's all kinds of angles that we need to talk about here. 610-632-0975. Now, we're going to have a lot of feedback on this game. Brian Westbrook's going to join us today. Ron Jaworski's going to join us today. So it's going to be an exciting show. And but it's not going to be any more exciting than to hear what you had to say. Because you heard what I had to say. I know you're thinking along the same lines. It is malpractice to have coached that game the way they coached it yesterday. And malpractice on the quarterback. And yeah, is it fair to question his ability right now? Yeah, it is. Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 220. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention, HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's account location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And it's time to start our Twitter poll today. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for new outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons is a great place. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. Or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. They have everything you really want with good old-fashioned customer service. Let's go to Natalie Aganoff. Nat, what's today's Twitter poll?
Thanks, Mike. Over 300 votes on this one so far. Who is most to blame for the Eagles' loss yesterday? 41% say Carson Wentz. 25% say Doug Peterson. 34% say the offensive line. And 0% say the D not forcing turnovers.
Okay. All righty. So. Listen, to me, it's quarterback coach today. The QB and the coach. The thick and the dead. So
you brought up something. You're open.
Yeah.
I could, whether or not they would do it on purpose to sabotage the quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think they would do it on purpose.
Yeah.
But I will say, it seems like they don't do anything to help him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying they go out of their way to hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like when there's multiple chances to do something to help him out, they say, nah, he's good.
Yeah.
And I don't see other teams acting like that. That's weird.
Yeah.
What did they think was going to happen yesterday?
With the offensive line.
Yeah, with the offensive line. What did they think was going to happen? You could see this coming from a mile away.
I don't think they think real hard. I don't think this coach thinks real hard.
They can.
I really don't. I hate to say it, but he's thick.
We talked about this for 2 weeks leading up to this game. 2 weeks. We knew that there were going to be issues on the offensive line, and then that's what happens?
He's thick as a brick. That's a Jethro Tull song. Or album. Here's the deal. We got some things we got to tell you about. Because Doug Peterson, his follow that the game press conference is now going to be at 2:30 on Monday. So we'll be able to carry that live with NBC Sports Philly via Zoom. And you'll hear that whenever he gets in front of the Zoom mics or whatever. And NBC Sports Philly only carrying us until 3 today because the Phillies game is on. They have a matinee game today. So, but this is radio reaction all day long here. I expect to hear from a lot of people. So let's go right to the phones. Let's talk first about Cash in Mount Airy. Cash, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Cash?
What's up, Mike? How you doing,
What's
man?
What's going on?
Listen, I disagree with y'all a little bit. You know what I mean? With this, our Carson Wentz is putrid, man. He is horrible. You know what I mean? Like, he don't help it. His offensive line didn't help him out, but he don't help them out either. You know what I mean? And he overthrows so many receivers. It's the same exact thing that happened last year. They drafted a quarterback. The Eagles drafted a quarterback for a reason. They do not trust in this guy.
I agree with that. There's something about him they don't trust. But like Tyrone said, they don't help him. Now, yesterday, he should have thrown the ball away. He didn't throw the ball away once. All right? That's ridiculous.
He's playing like a rookie. First of all, you take us out field goal range one of the plays. Then it's a screen play that got totally blown up. You throw it to the ground and live to see another play. This guy is horrible.
Well, where did that sack come from? If you remember that sack that took him out of field goal range, the middle linebacker untouched, right? Because the running back had no idea on the play. So that goes back to like, what are you expecting from these guys? Yeah, that's the guy you got to wear Boston's guy. Nice little player, but my God.
Well, Mike, listen. Let me. I don't care. Listen, if you would have had any as a star running back, Emmitt Smith back there, Carson Wentz still, he misreads people. He overthrows them. It was a play with Jalen Reagan. He overthrew him by a mile. He overthrew fast guys. DeSean Jackson overthrows him. Like, I'm tired of seeing the same story, and we make
a mistake. I got you. I can't argue with you. He was horrible, and it looks like he's regressed.
Mike, I've seen Doug make adjustments. I've seen it.
Where?
I've seen it.
Where do you see him? I haven't seen offensive adjustments in the history of this guy.
When we won the Super Bowl, he made an adjustment to a new quarterback. Going into the playoffs to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, all right. Since that, what? Did he make any adjustment? If you're coaching that game. Hold on, sir. Cash, hold on.
I have more trust. I'm done.
Cash, let me ask you a quick question. I got to ask you a quick question. Quick question. All right? You're watching the game yesterday, right? Why would you not change your offense to accommodate the fact that they're getting your quarterback?
Maybe he is, Mike, but maybe...
Where? He's still doing six sub drops. He didn't throw one screen pass. He didn't throw one pass in a flat. He didn't throw to his running back. Where was he doing it?
He's Teflon, Mike.
Come on. Let's face it. They threw the ball, 57 times to 18 runs?
Yep.
Okay, now I look at my running back, when am I going to get out of my running game? So I got to do some creative passing things if they're getting to my equation. My offensive line can't hold. Jason Peters isn't holding on the left side. The right side is a disaster. How am I going to defeat that? Well, I'm not going to defeat it by playing the same game plan and trying to throw him down the field. And I'm certainly not going to put young receivers on out patterns. They don't know how to run them yet. They think it's college. Well, they can just go out there, turn around, and the defenders go at, like 4 yards behind them. That doesn't happen in the NFL. So what do you think is going to happen? That's my point. They don't anticipate anything.
Right, and I think because we just look at results, we're not thinking through, okay, look at the play. I understand it was an interception. And even, all right, I'll even say, let's say it was a bad throw. Let's say both of those things. does that not mean that the receiver ran a good route where he could have won, made a play on the ball, a real play on the ball, or at least broken it up? The answer is no both times, which means you know who should be in the game? DeSean Jackson, who ended up playing less snaps than Rager last night, and after the game said, I feel great. His mother says he feels great. He's not injured, yet he plays less snaps than Rager. Why is it that those two plays to DeSean Jackson, who knows how to run an NFL route? And then maybe, if those aren't interceptions, the Eagles win the game. Those are game-altering mistakes by the coach. Mm-hmm. So the quarterback was terrible. Fine. Quarterback was terrible. But we can't just go, oh, well, Doug's great. I don't know what you're talking about, Mike. That we can't have. If we're going to have that all day, then we're not seeing what actually happened last night.
I also never want to hear Super Bowl again. It's so long ago. We need to get over it. We need to move on. We need to move on, and we need to move forward.
He was out there with two guys that never played football before on the right side of the offensive line, and he passed a million times.
Yeah, it's just not smart. It's like I said before, it's malpractice. Now, let me just tell you what I mean with like running young guys on those kind of routes. A receiver that comes into the league. See, to run that route, you have to have your body in a position that wards off the angle that the D-back, who's close to you, which you have to anticipate because it's a different league now, you have to have your body in position to ward off the angle to make it impossible for him to just step in front of you like that, right? Now, sometimes it happens where a guy's going to get that kind of a read on a boy, he's going to step in front of you. But it takes a requisite toughness and experience to have that mindset as a receiver. These guys are in the league and they're frankly kind of scared. All right, so they're not going to take that bull by the horns. And go, I got to be tough on this play. All right? They're in the league and it's like, well, what do we anticipate? You know, and so like, you got to as a coach figure that part of it out. It's not that hard. You got two reliable guys. You get your tight ends that are reliable, and you got to move the pocket a little bit. You got to get your running back in space to with a short pass. You got to throw a screen every now and then. It's not that difficult. And then you back that team off a little bit, and then you can run some other stuff. It's all kind of coaching on your feet, which this guy struggles with. Let's go, Brian in Lumberton. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Brian?
So I got two questions I want to ask you today. I mean, you know, a lot of people I'm sure are going to call and complain about the quarterback who was horrendous, but I want to talk about the coach. The last caller who called said that, you know, Doug Peterson did do a good job making adjustments back, you know, 3 years ago when they won a Super Bowl and now, which I do happen to think that's true. And the question I've always wondered ever since then, and ever since, you know, we've seen the big mistakes he's made the last couple of years, what the hell happened? Where did that ability go? Where did his ability to have a really good feel for a game, to know when to take risks, to know when to sit back, this really, you know, seemingly great feel he, like, what happened to it? Where did it go? I don't know, man.
The only thing I can think of is his players were a little more reliable a couple of years ago. I mean, you really can't think that you have reliable players going into this game. You got a game plan for the fact that you're playing Herbig and you're playing Driscoll. I mean, it's real. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Plus Jason Peters, all that nonsense. They wasted 10 days trying to get a line in gear. Like 10 days. All of a sudden now they just throw guys that started positions. Like that's their fault too. For playing that silly game for 10 days until the Jason Peters got to the left side, they wasted valuable prep time.
Absolutely. And like Tyrone said earlier, too, about the whole prior situation, you know, like, you know, he's not why does he feel a need to come out and tell people something that isn't true all the time? Like, oh, Pryor's going to be playing, Pryor's, and then he doesn't play at all.
He actually didn't lie there. He said Pryor's going to play left tackle. So now that there was no need for a left tackle, I guess Pryor wasn't good enough to play the right guard position. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, man.
All right, but anyway, but this is my other question. Do you think that there is, and this is on the players as well as the head coach, do you think that there is some mental problem in terms of their complacency when they have a 17-0 lead? Because yesterday wasn't the first 17-0 lead they blew. They blew one against Carolina a couple years ago at the Link, if you remember that game.
Yeah, they haven't blown a lead like this against that inferior team, and they gave them short fields the whole time.
Not a team that inferior.
I don't know. Maybe complacency, but when you give the other team short fields, it's not that difficult to score. They gave them short fields under five scoring drives.
Well, I mean, you're right, but my question is, do you think that somehow when they get a big lead, do you think that maybe they just sort of mentally check out?
Or no, I don't think they're good enough to mentally check out. I think it was inexperience that made them check out in this game. And it was not being able, that inexperience not being helped out by your coaching staff. I can't for the life of me figure out how they could have so many football dudes who are on this coaching staff. I mean, I've been in press boxes. I've heard guys go, hey, coach, it's not working. Let's roll with this the next series. Did they do any of that? Did they change it up at all?
But even if they tried, do you think Doug would have listened?
Well, that's the thing.
There's no offensive coordinator. He has an offensive assistant. He's the coordinator. Well, he designed it this way.
He doesn't listen. I would think that somebody would be able to get to him and say, hey, or Stoutland, right? He's a respected guy. His offensive line's getting killed. Stoutland's a veteran coach. You think Stoutland go, yeah, Holmes, come here. Yeah, we're getting killed here. So let's do this.
I completely agree, but it never happened, and not a single screen pass, and up 17-0. How about we just put this thing in mothballs, and we're going to win 17-6 because this team can't move the ball? I'm saying the whole mindset, the quarterback's execution went from great to terrible, and I have no idea why. Did he get hit? I don't know why. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen, how bad he got all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Terrible. At the same time, the logic behind the play calls did not improve. Like, just throwing it deep, chucking it deep, people go, oh, he missed him. Okay, why are you just chucking it deep up 17-0?
You know, a guy that's capable of getting that bad really makes me feel bad inside because I go, what is he?
It's very strange.
You know, he's been in the league long enough. If you can go that bad, then maybe we've overrated your ability. I don't know. I think it's fair to look at it at this point.
It's possible.
All right, we have Doug Peterson now on Zoom. Let's hear what the coach has to say.
Good afternoon. Now that you've seen the tape and you've seen the game from Carson, especially the turnovers, what did you see from that? And are you still addressing that fine line of trying to extend plays versus maybe being a little bit safer?
Yeah, after looking at the tape, it's kind of how I felt and what I saw, you know, live and in person yesterday in the game. We just missed. You know, we missed on a throw. The throw was came out of his hand after watching the tape, kind of slowing things down. It looked like it came out of his hand. Ball could have slipped a little bit coming out of his hand. It was left inside. So it's just, it happens, right? Those are things that are gonna happen. Especially when it's warm and it just is part of the game, right? It's just gonna take place. As far as the aggressiveness goes, I'm still gonna maintain the aggressiveness. As I said this morning, a 17-0 lead or a 27-10 lead, you know, in any football game in this league is not enough. And you have to continue to maintain aggressiveness. You have to, you know, especially when you have momentum, right? And it's kind of on your side. You got to use that to your advantage. And, you know, my thinking at that time too was to try to get points before half with the ball to start the third quarter. We've done that many times here where we've scored and then come out and scored touchdowns to start the third quarter. So, you know, that's a lot of my mindset, you know, in these games.
Go ahead, Jeff, and then Elliot.
Doug, but I guess John's question was about Carson's aggressiveness in terms of not holding the ball too long and not throwing it away or not throwing it into the dirt. It seems like we've asked you this question every year, and you do point out that you want Carson to have that aggressiveness and that he does make big plays, but you also preach to him about, you know, living for the next play or the next series, and it seems like it's going on one ear and out the other. How do you address that with Carson, and why isn't he hearing you?
We still have to continue to address him, you know, and to address those issues. You know, it's part of the football game. It's, you know, we just got to keep talking that it's okay to throw the ball away. It's okay to, you know, dirt the ball on a screen pass or something of that nature. And And look, it's something that we just got to continue working through. There is a fine line, obviously, as we know, between the aggressiveness, but at the same time, we want to be smart.
Go ahead, Elliot, and then Ruben.
Hey, Doug. I was just curious why DeSean Jackson only played 54% of the snaps yesterday.
Yeah, you know, he obviously he's a big part of the offense, but at the same time, we want to make sure that he's, you know, he's a guy that's healthy and fresh for us down the long haul here. And I think each week, you know, I would anticipate his rep count to increase as we go. And we're going to be smart with him, but we also know that he's an explosive receiver for us, and we want to get him on the field as much as possible moving forward.
Ruben and then Kristen.
Hey, Doug. Like Jeff said a second ago, you know, this is something we've asked you about for 5 years, probably, about Carson holding the ball and trying to make a play and his competitiveness. Is it fixable? Is it something at this point that he can learn to do and you know, be smarter with the ball in those situations?
I do believe he can learn that, and I do believe that we can continue to coach it better. You're probably going, well, it's a broken record, but it's what we have to do. We have to continue to discuss and continue to talk with him about it. And look, if he's holding the ball, there's a reason. Maybe we got to coach the routes better. Maybe I have to call a play better. I've got to put our team in a better situation. There's all types of scenarios and possibilities on every play. And it's all about the communication that we have throughout the week.
Go ahead, Kristen, and then Dave Singer.
Hey, Doug, are there any moments when you look back at yesterday's game where you can maybe say, okay, this is because we didn't have that lack of preseason?
Well, and that's a great question. You know, I went into that game going, you know, are we going to – how many pre-snap penalties are we going to have? Are we going to be able to jump off sides? Are there going to be holding calls? You know, how's our execution going to be? You know, are the starters going to be able to hold up? There's all kinds of things without having preseason games. How are our young players going to play? There's all those things that kind of rush through my head without having preseason games, you know. And for the most part, yesterday, you know, having three penalties, I thought we came out from that aspect of it pretty good. The way we started the football game, I've talked a lot about this. Our football team starting fast. Defense got off the field, offense goes down and scores. And those are things that are positives that we take away from this game that we can build on. But yeah, you know, when you don't have preseason games to truly evaluate where you are, it makes it a little more difficult.
Dave and then Les.
Hey, Doug, how did Nate Herbig grade out at right guard? And is he the starter going forward at that position?
I thought Nate did well. wasn't perfect, but for his first start, he's a smart guy, and he graded well. You know, as of right now, as we move forward, you know, we're going to continue to work him in there at right guard, and I think he'll get just more. He'll get more and more comfortable. You know, the more reps he gets in there, and works with Kelsey more, so. Again, it wasn't perfect, but really, really felt comfortable coming away with his performance.
Les and then Tim.
Hi, Doug. Speaking of aggressiveness and your role, do you factor in the other team at all? And the reason I ask that is Washington really didn't drive more than 48 yards on any of those scores. They got the ball six times in their last nine possessions in your territory. If you had been a little less aggressive, could you maybe have won the game? Did you think about that when you were looking at the film?
I guess you're asking me if I could have run the ball when we were up 17-0 the rest of the game. Yeah, that's being less aggressive, but.
Or just going for it.
Listen, I'm gonna do what I feel is the best interest of the football team. And we cannot turn the ball over. We cannot have eight sacks. We cannot put our defense on the short side of the field as an offense. We have to execute better on fourth down. We have a guy open. We don't execute the protection. You know, we drop a pass on another fourth down in the game. You know, so there's all kinds of things that we can point the finger at. I can do a better job in with a couple of play calls, you know, throughout the game. And those are all things that we take away from this first game. You know, and we're probably sitting here asking different questions. But, you know, look, this is a game where I have to do what I feel is in the best interest of the football team. We practice these situations all the time. I do have to be smart, you know, game by game. You have to make smart decisions, and you got to trust, you know, our players. Trust our quarterback, trust our schemes, how well is the defense playing? So I think there's all of that that factors into the aggressiveness factor, you know, for us.
Go ahead, Tim, and then Zach.
Doug, do you anticipate having Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson available to you this Sunday? And if you could give us a status update on Vinny Curry.
Yeah, I'll update you. Vinny and Craig James, both significant injuries, are going to miss some time here in the next couple of weeks. So don't anticipate either one of those back. On Miles and Lane and some of the other guys, Derek Barnett, we're going to increase their practice time this week. We're going to see as the week goes on, you know, where they are, and hopefully they'll be available for the game on Sunday. But again, it's kind of day by day with those guys.
Go ahead, Zach, and then Bo.
Hey, Doug, on the offensive line, these injuries weren't necessarily new injuries. And in terms of Lane Johnson, obviously Andre Dillard. And during training camp, most of the first team snaps seemed to go to Pryor, Maialata. When did you settle on Jack Driscoll and Nate Herbig on the right side? And could they have used more time with the first team during the summer?
Well, you know, first of all, it's unfortunate because, you know, you guys weren't able to be out there for the majority of training camp and to see how we were doing practice and who was getting the reps. And it wasn't really until we started the padded practice that you were able to see kind of what was going on. So these guys were getting reps at different positions. So just to kind of clarify, these guys were getting, you know, Driscoll was getting right tackle reps. He was also getting guard reps. Milata was getting, you know, both tackle left and right. Pryor was getting his work in there, you know, and as we go, we begin to see who kind of, you know, is kind of having the hot hand, so to speak, you know, and playing well. And then as we got into this past game week, you know, obviously we settled on Nate Herbig and of course with Lane Johnson, you know, on game day being down with Jack Driscoll and felt comfortable there because they were getting the reps during the week.
Go ahead, Bo, and then Mike.
Hey, Doug, as you know, as Carson was sort of falling off there a little bit in the second half, not falling off, but, you know, not maybe looking himself, what was your communication like with him throughout that second half? How are you trying to get him to turn things around?
We were just talking about the next series, the next set of plays. He was asking me what I was thinking, and I was explaining to him exactly how we were going to attack and go back out and get the, you know, get the offense moving again. You know, it's just unfortunate in the second half that, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot on first down. I think we had 13 times we were second down and 7+, and then we were another 11 times we were third and 7+ in the entire game. And those are hard to overcome. And you got to make sure you're doing well on first down. You've heard me say this before, and we just didn't do that enough. But he and I were talking in the second half and putting a plan together prior to you know, the offense taking the field.
Mike and then Jamie.
Hey, Doug, I was wondering, did you have a conversation with Zach Ertz? It seems like he took that drop pretty personally. Is there anything you can say to a veteran with that type of experience after a negative play like that?
You know, things like that. I even go back to the Alshon drop, you know, in the postseason game a couple years ago. And listen, you just you hate to see it happen. It's part of the game. These are veteran players, and you just got to continue to encourage and continue to motivate. It's like, I equate it sometimes when a quarterback throws an interception, the best thing to do is get right back out there and throw the ball again, right? And so for guys like that, it's even though Zach was at the end of the game, you want to get back out there and throw him another pass somewhere, somehow, so he can get that feel back. But
just encourage him. You know, we got a lot of football left ahead of us, and he's going to make more big plays for us than just that one play.
We'll do a couple more. Jamie, Martin, and Daniel.
Hey, Coach. You'll hear coaches say that you can kind of make the most adjustments between game one and game two, especially in a week of practice, because you learn the most from your team in game one, especially in your case without a preseason, not seeing you know, what you had on the field there. What did you learn about your team yesterday that you can take into next week?
I think a couple of things. One, you know, I've talked a lot about, and I mentioned this earlier, about beginning and starting football games fast, right? And what I mean by that is obviously the defense getting off the field early, offense scoring points early. That was an area that we kind of struggled in offensively last year, being able to score those first quarter points, and that's something that we can build on. I think too, the other thing was, you know, we pride ourselves on sort of a tempo style of offense, and that was another aspect that we actually probably the most production we had was in our tempo, you know, offense yesterday. And that's another thing that we can look at. Special teams. When you look at this game yesterday, special teams was, with the addition of some of the young players that we've interjected on our special teams. You know, you look at Rudy Ford yesterday and his performance on punt and what he was able to do and be so disruptive. Those are all positives that we can take away from, you know, from this game. I think you look at another one with Darius Slay, who matched up with Terry McLaurin yesterday. And, you know, as we go each week, there's going to be that one receiver that, you know, Slay is going to go up against. And he did an outstanding job yesterday. So there's those little things there that can become big things as we move along, you know, each and every week as we get ready for, you know, for our next opponent.
Martin and then Daniel.
Hey, Doug, how would you assess the play of your rookie wide receivers? Jalen Reagor obviously had that long 55-yard reception, and he seemed like he was open on, like, you know, at least another one. How would you assess his play, and also John Hightower's?
You know, I thought both of them were just okay. You know, I think Jalen, you can see the explosiveness, the speed with Jalen. Being able to get behind the secondary, we just missed on the one shot. You know, Carson overthrew him on the one post route, but they were able to connect, you know, on another deep throw. You know, listen, it's something that we have to continue to, you know, practice. We've got to spend time with these guys. Again, it goes back to, you know, possibly missing preseason games with these guys. And you know, there's a game speed and there's a practice speed, and so we've got to continue to coach our young players up on game speed and what it's like. And they're going to look at this film and they're going to make the necessary corrections. And it was good for them, obviously, to play and do the things they did so they can get better moving forward.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, Doug. You guys in Washington went out onto the field together for Lift Every Voice and Sing, and then you guys stayed in the locker room during the national anthem. What, I guess, was the mechanics of those two gestures coming together, and what was the communication like for you with the players leading up to that?
Yeah, you know, we were on the field for pregame, and obviously with the beginning of the regular season, opening weekend. I know our players were in communication with their players, and we, I'd actually reached out to Coach Rivera, you know, during the week, and you know, let him know, you know, sort of our intention, and he gave me his intention, and then the players communicated everything else amongst themselves, and I thought everything came off you know, really, really well. It was a really good moment on the field with both teams, being able to not only be together with them like that, but to see the video, to you know, listen to the national anthem, and to see sort of that environment was pretty special.
Hey, Doug, how's Brandon Graham?
Are you just throwing questions out now or what?
Can't hurt, right? How's he doing?
He's in the protocol.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, Coach. Thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks, guys.
All righty, it's Doug Peterson. There's a couple quick hits, and we're kind of late for a commercial, but I didn't hear the one question that's the most simple question to ask, which is, Doug, while your offensive line was getting their butt kicked, didn't you have an obligation to change offensive calls accordingly? It's really a simple question. What I didn't hear, and I didn't get a direct answer. He had a horse crap answer on DeSean Jackson. He took a shot at Ertz by saying he dropped the pass on fourth down. Well, your third down call was terrible. And then he goes on with the aggression. Now, okay, I know it's Dougie, aggressive coach. But like in a situation where you see a weakness in your team, and like pretend you're on a minefield, do you go running through the minefield or you go tiptoeing around so you can survey the landscape so you can make a proper decision? I don't know. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got all day to talk about it. We got to say goodbye to our TV audience at NBC Sports Philadelphia. Phillies baseball is coming up on NBC Sports Philadelphia. But your reaction on 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.